Good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back into our Father's Word here at the chapel. We're going to pick it up today, Numbers chapter 3, verse 40. We invite you to open your Bible and join us. We'd love to have you. In our last lecture, we ended with the numbering of the Levites from one month old and upwards. And at the time, there were 22,000. Now, what's happening here is that from the time that the death angel passed over Egypt and took the firstborn of everyone except those who had the blood of the Lamb on their doorpost, meaning the Israelites for the most part. But the death angel took the firstborn, and at that time God claimed the firstborn of Israel, the males, to serve in the tabernacle. And and what's going on here, though, is he's decided to not take the firstborn of the tribes of Israel, all 12 tribes, but the Levites, all of the Levites, to serve in the tabernacle. And so we've got the number, the Levites numbered. Now it's time to number the 1 month old and upward of the firstborn of the rest of the tribes of Israel to see if there's a difference, which the difference would have to be redeemed, which is the case, as we'll see today. So let's ask that word of wisdom with that introduction from the Lord, and we always are careful to give Him the praise, and we ask You to open eyes, open ears this day, Father. We pick it up, Numbers chapter 3, verse 40, and it reads, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward." Now, these are all the tribes with the exception of the Levites. "And take the number of their names," the Lord said. "I'll take the Levites instead of the firstborn." Verse 41, "And thou shalt take the Levites for me," the Lord speaking. "I am the Lord," instead of, or in lieu of, "all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites, instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel." Now, the human beings, the month old and upward, will be exchanged head for head. Excuse me. The cattle, not so. God decided to accept the cattle of the Levites in place of the firstborn of the cattle of the rest of the 12 tribes. Nothing is said about numbering those on either the Levites or the other, but as it states here, we're just going to swap the cattle of the Levites for the firstlings of the cattle of the other tribes of Israel. Verse 42. "And Moses numbered, as the Lord commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel." Verse 43. "And all the firstborn males by the number of names from a month old and upward of those that were numbered of them were 22,273. 22,273. And as we ended our last lecture, which was verse 39, obviously, we had 22,000 of the 1 month old and upward of the Levites. We have 273 more from a month old of the firstborn of the rest of the tribes of Israel. Those are going to have to be redeemed, as we'll see in the next few verses. Verse 44. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle," the firstborn of their cattle. "And the Levites shall be mine, I am the Lord." And the purpose of them taking the Levites was to perform the work in and around the sanctuary, caring for the utensils and the furniture of the sanctuary, and also making sure that the due reverence to the Lord, Yahweh, was given by the people. So a lot of work to do in and around the sanctuary, and we're going to see that work assigned out, divvied out, if you will, to who was responsible for accomplishing the work in chapter 4. Verse 46, for those that are to be redeemed, in other words, to be bought back, of the 273, the 273, of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, 273 still owed to the Lord. 47, thou shalt even take 5 shekels apiece by the pole or by the head, and of the 273, in other words, after the shekel of the sanctuary shalt thou take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs. And there was a, besides the shekel of the sanctuary, in later times you would have what was called the shekel of the king. This was the price. 5 shekels was the price established for the firstborn males that were to be redeemed in Leviticus chapter 27. And again, that was established to redeem the firstborn male. Either if they didn't do that, then they dedicated the child to the service of the sanctuary and left him with the priest, the Levites. Verse 48. And thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them, the 273, is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons to go into the treasuries of the tabernacle. And there were 2 treasuries of the of Solomon's temple, if you're familiar with the book of Chronicles. But this was, of course, would be used for the operation and the maintenance of the sanctuary. Verse 49, and Moses took the redemption money of, or from, better, them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites, 273 times 5 shekels per head, 1,365 shekels of silver to be collected from the Israelites and placed into the treasuries of the tabernacle. Verse 50, of the firstborn of the children of Israel took he the money, 1,365 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. Verse 51 to conclude chapter 3, and Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons, the priest, in other words, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now you might ask, well, these people just came out of bondage to the Egyptians. Where did they get silver and gold? Well, when they left Egypt, Exodus chapter 12, verses 35 and 36, God instructed them, and it's translated in the King James Version Bible, that they borrow silver, gold, and precious stones from the Egyptians, jewels, etc. And actually, when you think about it, they had been in Egypt for some 400 years. When they came out of Egypt, they were 2.1 million strong, by my estimation. That's a lot of free labor for Pharaoh and those who the Israelites were enslaved to, who were in bondage to. So they had some silver and gold at the time that Moses, when he went up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. What did he find the people doing when he came down from Sinai? Well, they had taken their gold or some of it and melted it and engraved a golden calf to worship. So some of the gold they had used for good purposes in this case, some of it was used for bad purposes in the case of creating the idol to worship. Now in chapter 4, we're going to see the order of the Levitical service. Again, up to chapter 10, verse 10, we have God preparing Israel at Mount Sinai to move out, to break camp and start moving toward the promised land. And he's leaving nothing to chance, everything organized and disciplined in the kingdom of God. Now, in chapter 3, we had the Levitical families listed by birth. In other words, Gershon was the oldest, Kohath the middle, and Merari the youngest sons of Levi. And we're going to see a little different order of the families listed in chapter 4, and I believe it's due to the sacredness of the responsibilities that they were given in and around the temple. And more, I'll explain as we work our way through chapter 4 what I mean by that. Chapter 4, book of Numbers, verse 1, and it reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying," verse 2, "Take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi after their families by the house of their fathers." Kohath, the second oldest son of Levi to Gershon, being the oldest, yet he's listed first here. Again, we'll see that it's due to the sacredness of the work that they were to perform. Verse 3. "From 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the host." This word host is signifies military service, and we're talking about the army of the Lord here. 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, you could be confused by this 30 years, because in chapter 8, verse 24, it will be 25 years old. But if you have a companion Bible, you're fortunate. You have a note in your companion column on this particular verse mentioning this. And Bullinger points out that actually they started a probation period, or an apprenticeship, you could think of it, at the age of 25. But they studied for 5 years before they actually entered into the service, and were part of the numbering or the counting of heads at 30 years old. Now, at the age of 50, you might say, well, that's pretty young to retire. It would be a very young age to retire. And actually, the priest did not retire at the age of 50. They simply were not required to do the physical labor any longer. They still were available for counsel, things of that nature, but the arduous work of taking down the tabernacle, the boards, the pillars, or the sockets, and carrying the Ark of the Covenant in the case of the Kohathites, they were no longer required to do that after the age of 50, but they weren't put out to pasture completely at the age of 50. Now, at the time of David, in 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 24, the number, at the instruction of God, the age of service for the Levites was dropped to 20 years old and above, to the age of 50. Why? Well, I believe it's because that no longer did they have to disassemble the tabernacle, carry it or transport it to the new location, and then reconstruct the tabernacle. The Solomon's temple was a permanent structure, and no longer were they required to do the physical work of tearing the tabernacle down and reestablishing it. So they could go into the service younger, at 20 years old. Verse 4, "This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things." And here I mentioned the sacredness of what the Kohathites are responsible for, and we'll see what those are in the next several verses. Verse 5, "And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come, and his sons," the priests, in other words, "and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it." And this is the veil that separated the inner court from the Holy of Holies. But note, the Kohathites weren't to do this. The priest, Aaron, and his sons were to prepare the Ark of the Covenant and other pieces of furniture, we'll see, before the Kohathites were to come in. Had the Kohathites just marched right on into the Holy of Holies, God would have struck them dead, and we'll see why. He gave them warning in this very chapter and later verses. Now, this veil, you know, at this time there were only less than a handful of people who were allowed to go into the Holy of Holies to do this. And we were talking Aaron, Eleazar, and Ithamar were the only priests at this time. Everyone else was forbidden from even thinking about entering into the Holy of Holies. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that one of the first things that Jesus did after the crucifixion was he went to heaven and he rent that veil from top to bottom. And what does that mean? That means that you and me have the right to approach God through prayer ourselves at any time. We're not prohibited from approaching him in the Holy of Holies, because of what Jesus did in rending that veil. And in verse 6, "And shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and shall spread over it a cloth wholly," or completely, "of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof." Now, a couple things on this verse. Let's start with the first. Badger is an unclean animal. There's no way. That would be like putting swine skin over the Ark of the Covenant. You would not do that. No way, shape, or form. This badger skin, it had to be a furry animal. I believe, and several other scholars will back me up on this, that it was some type of antelope, which is a clean animal. But no way would you take an unclean animal and cover God's throne with it. The blue, always symbolic of royalty. It doesn't get any more royal than our Heavenly Father's throne. Now, in Exodus chapter 25, verse 15, when the instructions for the Ark of the Covenant were given to Moses, we learn that the poles, or the staves, which were run through the rings along the edge of the Ark of the Covenant so that it could be carried, were to remain in the Ark of the Covenant. So when it states the last phrase here, "they put in the staves," obviously they had to remove the staves before they covered it with the veil, first of all, and then with the antelope hide, and the purpose of that, of course, to protect it from the elements as they were moving it. But after all that was done, then they placed the staves or the poles back through the rings so that the Kohathites then could come in, pick it up, and transport it. Verse 7. "And upon the table of the showbread they shall spread a cloth of blue," royalty, "and put thereon the dishes and the spoons and the bowls and covers to cover with all, and the continual bread shall be thereon." The showbread table, the showbread in the Hebrew tongue, actually, if you translate it, means bread of the face. And it was the way that the priest could approach God's face through the showbread. And it was replaced when they were in camp and later in the Solomon's temple weekly the showbread would be eaten by the priest, and fresh showbread baked and placed on the table of showbread. But all these spoons, bowls, all utensils that were utilized, and all of this wasn't by Moses' design. It was by the design of God and given to Moses in Exodus chapter 25 and the following chapters. Verse 8, "And they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet," this being crimson, again, royalty indicated, "and cover the same with a covering of badger skins, and shall put in the staves thereof." Again, the badger skin, it would not have been badger as we know a badger today. That's an unclean animal. It had to have been a species of antelope. Verse 9, "And they," this being the sons of Aaron, the priests, "shall take a cloth of blue and cover the candlestick," this is the menorah, "of the light, and his lamps, and his tongs, and his snuff dishes, and all the oil vessels thereof wherewith they ministered unto it." These instructions for the menorah given to Moses in Exodus chapter 31, verse 40. And God then provided him with artisans to take the instructions from Moses and craft these pieces of furniture. Now, a candlestick, it's changed considerably from what we would consider a candle today. We would consider a candle today to be a wax object with a wick in the center. And when you light the wick at the top, it burns and melts the wax that runs down the side and puts out light. That's not what the candlestick was at this time. What they did was they took bowls and filled them with oil, olive oil, and placed the wick actually in the bowl. And then you lit the wicks. But from time to time, they had to, for example, when they broke camp, you obviously wouldn't want to leave the oil burning in the wicks as you transport it, or as you cover it to be transported. So what they would, the snuff dishes and the tongs were utilized to quench out the fire of the wick, and then they would prepare the candlestick to be transported or cleaned or the oil replenished if the camp wasn't being broken. Verse 10, "And they shall put it and all the vessels thereof within a covering of badger skins," again, antelope or some other clean animal, "and shall put it upon a bar." And, Moffat translates this bar a stretcher, like you would use for transporting an injured person. I don't think stretcher. I think all of the table of the showbread, the golden altar, and other parts had the rings in through the various locations so that the poles or staves could be run through the rings, and then the Kohathites would bear the furniture on their shoulders. Now, we're going to see the Gershonites and the Merarites are given wagons and oxen to transport their responsibilities, parts of the tabernacle. Not so with the Kohathites. They were to actually bear these pieces of furniture on their shoulders. And you might say, well, that would be a long day, and it would be a long day. But when we get to the numbering later in our next lecture, probably, of the Kohathites, you're going to see that there were enough of them that, you know, if you had